Welcome to the Beat Red Podcast, a podcast where we talk about all things embarrassing. We tell our stories. You tell your stories. You call us up and you tell your stories and we all laugh together. We are here to laugh. We are here to just enjoy embarrassment. I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Katie.
Let's turn Beat Red.
Let's turn Beat Red.
How was your week?
Oh, I said it first.
I think you actually did. We have a delay, but I'm going to go ahead and say that you did.
Okay.
Yeah, what is going on?
What's happening?
I mean, snowpocalypse is all anyone can talk about for the East Coast.
Wait,
over here.
Are you okay over there?
Dude, we are
What's
beyond fine. Like, it went from like, oh, we're going to maybe get 25 inches of snow to like, is it going to snow? It was supposed to snow today. It's supposed to snow tomorrow now. It never snowed.
God,
it is
so
cold, but we are going through like apparently the coldest stretch. Like, it's a straight week of being under freezing temps for the first time since 1989, since I was a wee baby. So,
it's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. But yeah, it's, I was very, you know, prepared. I was like, let me get my salt and let me make sure I have a snow shovel and let me make sure like I have all these things that like you really don't need here. It's pretty temperate, but I just was prepared. Got some extra water, got some extra good, some extra food.
Candles everywhere. Candles for all, like, in case you get,
I mean, I do have a lot of candles. I would be good there. But yeah, we got some firewood if we need it. But yeah, everyone's like, oh, there's going to be power outages and ice and this and that, ice storms. But, and maybe there will be for certain parts of the East Coast and, you know, higher north. But yeah, it's looking like it's actually going to be pretty chill. Now I'm hoping that we get enough snow so that Sebastian can build a snowman because he desperately wants to build a snowman. The last time it snowed, it like melted the same day and he had to go to school. School wasn't even canceled. So like he was so pissed when he got home. He's like, couldn't even build a snowman.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah, I'm hoping that we get a nice little bit of snow so he can build a snowman and that it's just, I love snow, so that it's just beautiful and, you know, nobody wants the storm and the drama.
No, so, but you want to get out there and throw a snowball at your loved ones. That's what you want to do.
That's
you want to get out there and be like, ha ha ha.
You want to slam them like, right in the face.
Yeah, slam them right in the face.
So yeah, that's what's going on over here. Definitely did a little bit of thrifting and, you know.
Yes, I've seen those videos. You are scoring.
I'm getting some good finds, I got to tell you. I had some good ones yesterday. Yeah, it's been fun. I'm planning out. Oh, you saw that I started working on my bathroom. Demolished that mirror. I took it down.
You killed it.
It was scary, but we got it done. And now I have 8 million other things to do before I even start the process of like putting up wallpaper and painting and everything else. I still have to take down the wallpaper. Still have to fix the drywall that got messed up when the mirror came down. So there's a lot of like not fun stuff that happened before the fun stuff. But yeah, I'm excited for it. I'm excited to finally do that and get it going. But, you know, there's been a lot going on with my parents, a lot going on with, you know, the world and everything else that it's been a time. So it's heavy.
It's heavy. Yeah.
How are you doing? That's the question of like everyone's like in 2026, it's how are you doing is like, what do you say? It's like as good as you can be given the circumstances that the world's kind of falling apart right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I look at people and I like love them. I'm like, we are in this together. If you're a decent human, we're going to get through this. We're going to figure this out. We're going to get through this, you know?
Yeah. So call your reps.
Call your reps. Yeah, man. Just show up.
Yep.
Anyway,
how has your week been aside from, you know, the state of the nation? How's your week been?
Walking up the steps, it's like, all right, let's laugh, okay? So I'm going to tell you something really embarrassing that happened this week. real embarrassing.
Okay.
So I am like, my son's at school. I'm going to get my body back. I'm going to do some running. I'm going to do some hot yoga. So I get into my first hot yoga class in like 2 years. I go to the back. I'm like, I have a full like sweatsuit on. People are just like in their sports bras and they're like, let's do this. And they're like looking great in their shape. And I'm in the back row like, okay, I want to see if I can maybe do one downward facing dog.
So you love hot yoga? You used to do it?
I love it.
I did one class and I was like, absolutely not. I was like, never again.
For me, it's a spiritual place.
Yeah. No, I love yoga, but hot yoga, uh-uh. I'm like, I almost passed out. I was like, I hate this. I hate it so much.
I know. I don't know. It's always spoke to me. It's always spoken to me. I've always gone in and felt like I'm in some kind of tropical place where I can like stretch super deep and then you're like drenched and it's super, I don't know. I find like really, so I get there and I'm in the back row and I'm like, okay. And I turn around, the class is packed and there's mirrors in the front. It's like one of those studios where there's mirrors in the front. So you're like doing some really, really amazing pose and you look at yourself and you're like, your guts, like my guts, like fully on the floor. And I'm like, oh, God. Like I have to, anyway, that's why I wanted to be in the back. So the teacher comes in and he's, his name's Mark, and he's like, okay, everyone, today we're going to turn away from the mirror and we're going to face the back. And I'm like, that means that I am front and center for everyone to see. And I'm like, oh, God. And so I start to do, like, stretches. And my joints are just like fireworks. They're just like, bow, 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 bow. And I'm like, oh, like, commenting on it. And then I'm like, at least I'm in it with you folks. I turn. There's, like, the most famous teacher right next to me.
Oh, wow. Who's,
I think she's a little bit older. But she's just, like, she's so good at yoga. And I'm like, what are you doing in the back row? Like, what's happening? Did you know about this? Like, did you know that he was going to turn us around? Like, what am I doing? Nobody follow me. I'm not zenned out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's stressful.
I upped the temperature in hot yoga. I was like, don't follow me. This is my first class back. And then I'm in sweat, so I'm like drenched. I was like, I look like a drowned rat.
You were just trying to hide, and then they're like, spotlight.
Yeah, they're like, turn around, we're going to flow. And I'm like, oh, God, no, I don't forget what that means.
Yeah.
So that was really embarrassing. I want to make an addendum to last week. I have to say the fairy porn books that I'm reading are by Sarah J. Maas, okay? I brought this up. So I have read her first one, A Court of Thorns and Roses. I just finished her second one, A Court of Mist and Fury. She is phenomenal. Highly recommend these books. They are fairy porn to the nines.
Freaky, you're in it, fairy, just like fiction.
Feeling it.
For ya.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like, ooh, maybe I would run a finger down someone's wing and turn them on. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. So highly recommend in these times. Sarah J. Maas, thank you for your service.
Okay. That's good. I'm so glad you clarified that.
Everyone who was
dying for their freaky fairy fiction, they were like, I'm looking this up. I can't find this. What the hell? What the hell, Mary?
Right, they're like, or the people who have read the series are like, Sarah M. Maas, what are you doing?
If you listen to this podcast and also have the crossover Venn diagram of being a freaky fairy fiction person, please reach out to us. Because I'm dying to know if there's even one other person that listens to this
Instagram
podcast.
Page and write a comment.
And
I
also
see
reads
you
fairy porn. I need to know.
Please drop a note and say,
I love fairy porn too. Okay?
It's, yeah, can you just do that? I love fairy porn too. It's five
or
words.
Or send us a DM if you don't want to put it out to the world that you love fairy porn. You can send us a DM on Beat Red Podcast.
You
or
can even say
Instagram.
I have an issue with you calling it porn. It's sensual lovemaking.
It is.
Which is, girl. It is.
Steamy sexiness with fairies.
Steamy. Let's turn back the Speaking pages of steamy, and read that one more time.
Have you watched Heated Rivalry? Everyone's
watched.
Oh, you haven't? Oh, it is steamy.
I gotta watch it.
It is steamy.
Is it good? Have you seen it?
It is good. Yeah. It is. I think it's definitely like a little Skinamax for there's a lot of steam and a lot of heat. And it gets to like, I feel like episode 4, 5, and 6 were incredible. Like the first three, it's like the build up. Like I loved the second episode, which is like a different story arc. Like it's a beautiful show. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, it's worth watching, but it is definitely,
I mean, everyone has told me the same.
Steamy. Yeah.
I gotta watch it. I just love two rivals falling in love and then like kind of having to hide it. And
it's hot.
I don't even know anything about it.
It is.
Yay. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. I'm gonna watch it. Everyone I know has watched it, so.
So yes, do you want to kick us off? Do you want me to kick us off?
Sure.
What are you feeling?
I mean, I'm feeling I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll get us into this, okay? And I want to say, starting out with this story, the first story, I feel very seen, okay?
Okay.
Just keep that in mind. Okay. I so relate to
this. So this is your story.
Okay. This is not my story. No, but I wish it was. Okay?
Okay.
That's how closely I am entwined to this story.
Okay.
So this is from Nigel Wynn on Reddit, and he writes, I was staying at a nice hotel, the Empire in Llandudno, North Wales.
Llandudno?
While traveling for work. Llandudno.
Llandudno.
You know.
Llandudno. Okay.
North Wales. While traveling for work. They had a great pool. I went in there one morning and I was the only one there. I started messing about, recreating the opening scene of Jaws where the girl realizes that her leg has been bitten off. Then lots of splashing like the shark had come back for the second go. Then I tried a bit of synchro, kicking my legs up in various shapes. Then I did a bit of goalkeeper practice by throwing my goggles and diving to catch them. Then I saw a window overlooking the pool and a family of six people eating breakfast and watching me.
Oh, man.
I'm a 51-year-old man. That, to me, is I love that instead of, like, doing stretches or some you know, whatever those are called. What are they called?
Breaststroke.
Like,
freestyle.
Like, free swim.
Freestyle, yeah.
He pretended, like, he was in Jaws and got sucked under because his leg was bitten off by an imaginary shark.
Yeah, I love it. I love that he's just having the best time. You just don't lose your whimsy at 51. You keep on having fun like a kid, and that's really cute.
Yeah.
And I
throw your goggles and try to catch them.
They enjoyed it. They were probably like, what the fuck is this guy doing? They're like, it's probably the best breakfast ever. I'd be so entertained. I'd be like, please.
I would too.
He's like going, he's like pretending to go down the stairs. He's like doing the stupidest shit.
I'd be like, is there a shark in that pool? That guy's getting eaten. Like, if he was really committing to it.
Yeah, he's like screaming.
Like, oh my God, there's something in there.
He's throwing ketchup in the air. I love
it. He puts ketchup underneath his armpits and just like, as you do.
All right. My first story comes from Quora, and Chad Croy writes, I had an appointment with my regular doctor to get the body checked out. While the nurse was checking my blood pressure, I thought to myself, I ought to ask this broad out for a night of drinks and dancing.
What a romantic.
I ought to ask this broad out.
Then, look at these gams going on for days.
Yeah. Then I farted unexpectedly.
Come on.
Of course.
There's no sentence in between those
two. I love it. I love it. He's just thinking to himself, like, I should really ask her out. Then he just farts just unexpectedly.
Let's it go.
Of course, I acted like nothing happened, and so did she. But it wasn't the kind of natural gas that just slips out like a new moon in the nighttime sky. It was the kind that makes a guy blush. It was the slow sound of thunder rippling down in the valley below. So it was a loud
what?
One.
What?
He unleashed a beast.
But it was like a low, murmuring,
thunderous. It was a grumbly loud one.
Fart. Oh, God.
My thoughts fumbled around in my head, and all I could ask her for was a cup of water. She said she'd get me one and left the room. I sat there thinking about how awkward the whole thing had been. Then my doctor came in and shut the door. We went through the usual questions and follow-up routine. I had an issue with my left eye, so he moved in to take a closer look. He bumped my shoulder, and we both farted at the same time.
No, that's not true. That can't be real.
This guy is really gassy.
But his doctor farts too?
They farted together.
Oh,
to make matters
God.
Worse, the nurse walked in with my cup of water right when the magic happened.
No way. This is too much. This is like a vaudeville, like five star, one, like a Broadway show.
It's ridiculous. And he thought she was so hot and wanted to ask her out. And then he farted. And then she saw him farting with the doctor together. So double
farts.
Like
she comes in and then just two farts as she comes into
just
the room.
Just blasting it together as she comes in.
This is a symphony.
The whole thing overwhelmed me and both the doctor, and we looked at each other. We broke into a slow laugh that fell apart into some pretty uproarious chuckles. The nurse put the water down and covered her mouth to try not to laugh and left the room. That's when my doctor turned his rear towards the door and said, "Keep the change, you filthy animal," and proceeded to rip one so loud I thought it was a building collapsing.
This isn't real. I know. This can't be real.
I should mention my doctor and I are pretty good friends outside of the doctor-patient setting.
Okay.
He's normally not so unprofessional, at least not at work. I never did ask that nurse out for a date. Cheers.
Okay, so he says, let's go back to the part where the doctor says, keep the change, you feel the animal, and then farts loud at the closed door.
You know, well, he like turns toward, I feel like he's like about to walk out the door and he says like, keep the change, you feel the animal, brr, and like blast it on him, like leaving.
So the nurse gets it as she's leaving?
No, the nurse is gone. I think he does it to him. That's what I'm assuming. He does it to him. Yeah. I mean, maybe he did it to the nurse. That'd be pretty funny. But I think he did it to
him.
No, because he said they're friends. He's like, he's not like this normally. We're friends.
Right.
So he like did it to him.
Just the idea, the dichotomy between a very professional doctor who saves lives, who can prescribe you something that's going to be, you know, life altering. And then just turn that same person being able to turn to the door and be like, keep the change, you filthy animal. Like, like what? We all contain multitudes.
We really do, you know? We really do. Yeah.
That's really good.
It's
I loved it. I loved it. And you know what? It wasn't even embarrassing because they just they just went with it.
Well, it was embarrassing for him because he thought the nurse was hot and wanted to ask her out. So that's where the embarrassing part came in.
Not once, twice.
She's like, this guy is gassy.
She's like, this guy stinks. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is from Jody in Massachusetts. Thanks, Jody, for writing us. And she writes, I was no good as a masseuse, never got the relaxed, nonchalant exterior down. At the end of every day, I usually needed one myself. She needed a massage herself. So I'd been working at my new job for all of one day when I completely humiliated myself. Mm-hmm. The massage studio I got a job at had those heavy curtains separating the beds and another curtain running the length of the hallway that had openings that I pulled back when I started a massage. So can you picture that?
Yeah.
I am pictured like a big room.
Yeah.
And then it's like really thick curtains separating the bed, mm-hmm. so you're not going to hear someone else's massage, and then just like one long curtain.
Right.
That had must have had like little other side curtains. I don't know.
Yeah, I've been to like so a Thai place in Hollywood that had that, that I remember.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Me too. I wonder if it was the same one. It's closed
probably.
Down. So it was essentially a long hallway divided into small little rooms by thick black velvet curtains and a thinner one that went the length of the hall. Earlier in the day, before the real embarrassment hit, I'd knocked and walked in too early, only to see my client, totally naked, dive behind the bed with wide eyes peeking up at me. So I was panicking about when to go into the rooms for the rest of the day. So she just like, you know, went in too early, didn't give the lady enough, or the person enough time. I was told to wear comfortable tennis shoes. Makes sense. I'm on my feet all day. The place was looking out for me. So I had a 5 p.m. 1 hour couples massage, and I heard them walk into their room. I was working with another masseuse on this one. So I waited for 5 minutes for the couple to get settled, and I strode right up to the curtain. In hindsight, I should have waited for the well-seasoned masseuse I'd be working with to take the lead, but I was trying to prove myself and show independence. Stupid, very, very stupid. As I walked up to the curtain, my new tennis shoes skidded on the carpeting and I just fell into it, grabbing it as I went down. I must have grabbed that curtain with Hulk strength because I took it down with me as I fell. And I'm not kidding. I heard screams.
Oh, no.
I looked up from the floor and the entire row of masseuse tables was visible.
What?
So she took the whole hallway carton down and all of the beds along the way visible. Right? That's like probably not a great like hardware situation. It was like a lazy installing. My clumsiness exposed four beds with masseuses in various stages of massage. Everyone looked and everyone screamed and everyone then stared at me as I got up.
That's the manager awkward. Came in
and stumbled around trying to fix the curtain and then had to refund all of those people. That was my first and last day.
Yeah, I was about to say, you got fired for sure. Aww.
That is, because you have to refund all the massages and everyone's just like, what? Like it ruins everything because you're just
ruins
supposed to be
relaxed. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so awkward. That's that sucks. Aw.
I know. Rough. Sorry. Sorry, Jody. That's a sad one. But thanks for the story. We loved it.
Okay. This next story is anonymous, and he writes, I was in college, and someone had insisted I attend a semi-formal party consisting of complete strangers in a home I'd never entered. This struck me as a complete waste of time, particularly since I had already planned to take a potent psychedelic that night and spend some time in private with the universe.
Yes.
I reluctantly agreed, but decided I would cut out at the earliest possible opportunity. And since I couldn't spend the whole night awake, I also resolved to take the recreational substance just before I appeared at the house. It would be 90 minutes before the effects would come on strongly, by which point I would have been able to excuse myself. The high would be over a couple of hours after midnight, and I could just sleep. I arrived at the house in slacks and a jacket, a far cry from my usual shorts and a t-shirt. Concern set in immediately. My fellow diners were all elegant yuppie types in expensive clothing, gushing about their personal wealth, cars, country clubs, etc., and imbibing from champagne flutes. Not my type of folks.
Whoa. Yeah, it sounds like definitely a fish out of water.
Worse, the drug was kicking in much faster than I anticipated. The walls started rippling, and the guests were becoming increasingly reptilian in appearance.
Oh, come on. No.
I started to panic. I dashed upstairs and hid in a bedroom to hatch a plan. By the time the drug's effects had muddled my thinking and it seemed by this time, the drug's effects had muddled my thinking and it seemed like a fantastically good idea to just jump out of the second story window and run away.
Are you kidding me? You jumped out the window?
Additionally, due to a small ledge, I was able to close the window behind me, somehow thinking that was important.
That's so scary.
Oh, yes. I had accidentally locked the bedroom door behind me, too.
Oh, no. No one's coming. No one's coming to save him.
Several hours passed. I had a wonderful trip. I stripped down in my t-shirt, rolled up my pant legs, and I was now barefoot. This was Florida
Wait,
in the
he's
70s.
Out on a ledge?
No, he's outside. He jumped down. He jumped down.
Oh,
he's strolling around. He's having a great time. He jumped off the ledge of the two-story window, and he is strolling around.
Okay.
This was Florida in the 70s, so I didn't look that strange. I was coming down nicely and feeling mellow. I purchased a large beer from a convenience store, and I started ambling randomly around, feeling hazy but terrific. So I just think it's so funny that this guy's like his whole plan was just to like get super high on these edibles and just like be by himself. He's like, I just want to be in the universe. He's like, fuck these people. I just want to be by myself. So this like friend that invited him or date or whatever, he was like, he just ran away, which is really
He's
funny.
Like, no, thanks. He jumped out a window.
Yeah, he literally ran upstairs and jumped out a window. And now he's just like roaming around. Yeah. Soon, I rounded a corner and saw a huge gaggle of police and fire vehicles surrounding a house. Keenly interested, I padded over, looking quite dissolute but friendly, and I engaged a fireman in conversation. He explained that the occupants of the house had a stranger visiting them, but that he suddenly disappeared. Then they discovered a bedroom door was locked on the inside. They concluded that the individual had had a medical emergency and passed out. By the way, this had been conflated to a suicide attempt by the time I had arrived, and no idea why. It was a real emergency. The bedroom door was exceptionally solid, so the police and firemen had decided to use the ladder truck to break the bedroom window and enter. I thought all of this was fascinating and settled down to watch, then suddenly realized to my horror that this was the house that I had exited 4 hours
yeah,
earlier.
You did this, guy.
Before I could run, the entire assembly of guests on the front lawn recognized me instantly. Cries of, that's him! There's the guy! There he is! Filled the night. And suddenly, 36 people were pointing and staring at me. Paranoia! Keep in mind, I was still very high. It was pointless to run. I stood my ground and jabbered out a completely implausible explanation. The hostess and the police were giving me this serious stink eye, but there was nothing I could do. And eventually, I just strolled away. Later,
you
I saw the
still
humor.
Open, still like open
just roaming around. Just like- it's the 70s, so I feel like they probably didn't even have open container laws in Florida back then. They probably still don't in Florida to this day.
I just like that he's like the dude. He's just like, oh, yeah, that was me.
But I love that he's like, oh, what the hell's going on here? What? And he like just rolls up and he's like, this is crazy. And he just like sits down to like watch it. And they're like, this is because like of you. Sitting, like literally this is because
like,
of you.
Yeah, I love it.
Later, I saw the humor in all of it. But the person who requested I attend the party in the first place never talked to me again.
Yeah, I bet not. Yeah. I mean, because come on, you can't go to a party like having just taken drugs where you don't know anyone there and you're just going to be like.
His whole plan was like, I'll take it. I'll kick in 90 minutes. By then I will have left. So who cares? You know, he's like, I'm just going to get in, get out, say hi, mingle, bye, leave. Yeah.
It just didn't go that route.
It did not go that route.
I love that he's just like, I got to get out of here. How am I going to? Okay, I'll just jump out the window.
But imagine their perspective because this is a dinner party. So you have to think everyone's seated. They're looking at him. He's looking at them like, oh, my God, they're reptiles. Like, he's looking at their faces. And they're like, what the fuck is this guy doing? And then he just bolts and runs up the stairs and locks himself in your room. You're like, what? Like, what is this guy doing?
Like, there's that one person at the table that's like, I think he's about to commit suicide. Like, and then it just, like, it just spirals. It's like that person who just, like, gets everyone in this shit.
Yeah, but I just thought it was the funniest story to picture himself just, like, walking up on this scene, like, whoa.
Oh, so funny.
It's like, it's your
scene. So funny. Like, what's happening?
You caused
this. He's got, like, open container of beer in front of, like, the ambulances, and they're like, dude, this guy's trying to commit suicide. Yeah. And then they all point to him, and that ambulance guy's gonna be like, what is that? Why?
And then he just strolls away. Well,
he just strolls away. Yeah.
I'm fine.
He's like, she never talked to me again.
I didn't die. Bye.
Yeah, I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. There had to have been one person at that party that wanted his number. You know what I mean? Mm. I wanted to hang out with them. You could show them a good time. Okay, this is from Reddit, and Moody Ghost writes, when I was 13, a doctor wrote me an adult dose for a certain medicine based on my weight. I was a fat kid. Our body does not work that way, and the medicine ended up constipating me.
Oof.
For a month.
A month? Oh, my God.
For a month.
You can die. That's horrible.
I did not shit for a whole month. Mm-mm. I got sick. I had raccoon-like eyes. My stomach would jump or flutter by itself. I had cramps, etc. It was bad.
Yeah, no, that's like, miserable. I feel like after a week you can die because it's like, it can become impacted month? And it's like sepsis into your bloodstream. Like, it's so dangerous. You have to get it like removed surgically. Like, it's a big deal.
Well, here we go. I finally told my parents how long it had been since I had shit and they freaked
out. Wait, does it say how old they were? He
was 13.
Oh my God, little baby. You didn't tell your parents that you didn't go for a month?
Yeah, they're like, Mom, Dad, I haven't pooped for a month. And their parents took them to the hospital.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
There, they gave me 3 enemas back to back. After the 3rd and final one, all that water softened all that shit up just enough so I could expel it.
Wow.
I ran to the nearest bathroom, gown open in the back, and tried to make it to the toilet. I didn't.
Oh, no.
My ass was hovering at a 45-degree angle over the toilet when the geyser burst. Ugh. This next part is not a lie, but I know some of you will think it is. I got shit everywhere.
Oh, I believe it.
On the ceiling.
It's been a month.
On the floor. The toilet was covered. The walls. Even the sink got hit with some spray.
Holy
shit was
moly.
literally sprayed on all the walls and the ceiling. It was everywhere.
Yuck.
Can you imagine?
Yuck.
That must have felt so terrible.
He probably felt like so a new good, kid though, after that. He or she probably felt so good afterwards.
Well, yeah, they were like, I felt like a new kid after that. Cleaned myself up the best I could, and then I had to figure out what to do. There was no way I could clean it all up. I needed a janitor. So I walked out, politely told a nurse the bathroom needed a cleanup, and badly. A janitor was only a few rooms down for some reason, so I saw him go by to clean it.
Oh, no.
But he did not know who I was. He got to the bathroom, and the whole ER heard, oh, hell no. I ain't cleaning this up. I quit. And he did.
I would, too.
I felt so bad. Still do. I made some poor janitor quit his job over a shit-caked bathroom. The whole thing is a mess, right?
I would, like, too. I would quit for that, too. What a disaster.
Yeah, I'd be
who did they have to get to do that? Like, ugh, it's horrible.
I know. You always wonder about that, right? You're like, oh, man, someone created a mess, but the person who has to clean that mess up is just blessed somehow. Like, hopefully they just, quit.
That's rough.
Say no.
That is really rough.
It's bad.
I mean, somebody had to do it, though.
It's
probably a team, honestly, and they're wearing hazmat suits. They need hazmat suits for that.
They need hazmat
suits. You
got
to just get a hose at that point and just, spray it all down. You got
to
have, a wet vac.
Cover your eyes.
You need a hose and a wet vac at that point. That's what you have to do.
Yeah, and you need to walk in just spraying. Like, don't look, just spray. Spray everywhere.
I hate it.
Spray as much as you can and then back out.
I hate it. Okay.
You have to do it in teams. Okay.
My next story is anonymous, and she writes, my friend and I were playing at recess in school. I believe it was 7th grade. Anyway, my friend and I saw a small hole in the concrete wall that was in the back corner of our recess compound. We wondered for weeks if we could fit through. Finally, we decided to try it. I went first and got myself so tightly stuck that I couldn't back out. I went in head first since the hole was low on the ground where I could be on all fours even when I was in the hole. My upper half was completely stuck and wouldn't back out. I was embarrassed to call out for help. My friend and I tried for the rest of recess to get me out of the hole. Then the bell rang. I felt my blood run cold and I started to panic. I tried viciously to back out and I couldn't budge. My friend took off. She just left me stranded. It reminds me of the scene in A Christmas Story where he gets his tongue like stuck to the pole and all the kids all run away. She's like through this hole, just like completely stuck on her like hands and knees, and like her stomach's just like stuck in the middle of it. And so her butt's just out to everybody who is in the school, and she's just stuck in this wall. It's freaking hilarious to picture that.
It is so hilarious and so embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing.
It's hard though. I mean, their friend spent the entire recess trying to get them out. Like, you don't want to see that through.
Well, like, you would hope that the friend would be like, my friend, go run and get a teacher and say my friend is stuck. She didn't.
She didn't.
One stuck gal. I couldn't scream for help because no one would hear me. Thankfully, gym class was the next period and we were outside for that. I resorted to waiting until the class came out and saw me there. The teacher came over and after 40 minutes, I was free. I have never been so embarrassed in my life.
I think
that one is so funny. Just to picture this concrete wall and just a butt and leg sticking out. And like, you're like, what is that? What is happening? Like, thank God the class came out. And what a shitty friend. Like, go get a teacher tell someone. She was probably scared she was going to get in trouble. But it's like, really? Like, come on. Like, go tell.
Is that friend?
That your friend is stuck in the freaking wall, you loser.
Is that friend just like sitting in class, like sweat dripping down, just like... Like, is my friend okay? Like, what do I?
I know, like, could they see her? Like, I just think of Christmas Story. I'm like, could they see her, like, from the window and just her butt down there? Just
like, her legs just relax because she realizes that she has to wait for the gym class to come out.
Yeah. She's like, just sit. She's like, okay, well, I guess this is my life now. I'll just wait. I'm like, what did they do to get her unstuck? I wish they would have given more details on, like, exactly what they did to get her out of the concrete wall.
Yeah. Also, like, they need to fix that wall.
Yeah.
You know, that's code. That's
I'm sure they did after that. They're like, okay, now that a kid has finally done it and pushed their way through, it's time to fix it. Like,
they're like, our social experiment has come to an end and we will make the repairs. Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, my last story is also from Reddit. And Brakovit, I think that's how you pronounce it, says, I was about 12, camping with my mom. It was drizzling a bit, so I snuck away into the bushes to pee. I'm a very... very, very private person, especially when it comes to peeing in front of other people. I assume the position in a dense patch of bushes. I'm a good 10 plus feet from the tent where my mom is. So I say, I absolutely can never get used to peeing out in the open like this. Lo and behold, behind me, I hear a big booming voice. Don't worry, honey. We all do it. I had nestled myself into the privacy of the bushes, but unwittingly squatted my bare ass out the back of the bushes and onto the goddamn Appalachian Trail.
Oh, no.
So she like scoots, gets like super cozy and is like, oh, no one can find me here. But her butt is like hanging onto the trail. Someone sees her butt hanging out, her bare butt.
That's pretty funny.
A large group of individuals was hiking up behind me. Me, who had her pants around her ankles and her bare ass hanging out over the trail. In one rather violent frog hop, I leapt back into the tent, bulldozing bare-assed into my cackling mother. So she just like, I mean, that's just such a funny image to me that she backed all the way into the bushes and her bare butt was out. But she's like, I'm so glad we're alone. And like, there's like so many people walking to see a little butt.
It's a little funny. Butt. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I know. You'd think you would feel the breeze, but.
You think. Whatever. Okay, I have two more actually. Because I have a little one. So I'm going to read the bigger one first and then I have a little one. Okay? A little quickie. Okay, because sometimes I see those little quickies and I'm like, it just tickles me. So like, I need to put it somewhere. So yeah.
Bring it.
Okay.
I love it.
This next one comes from Cora, and Natalie Warlow writes, the following happened a day or two after Christmas in 1997 when I was 13. We were in Colorado visiting my stepbrothers. I'd never skied in my life. And this was, not coincidentally, the last time I skied.
No.
We get a lot of like ski embarrassing stories. I feel like there's so many like accidents that can happen skiing, you know?
Yeah. Funny ones.
Tell us your ski stories. I guess.
Preferably funny ones.
Yes. I guess that's all the background you need to know. So we went to a ski resort. My stepbrothers who lived in Denver skied all the time. My sister and I, who grew up in Arkansas, had never skied before. My mom skied once when she, like about 12 or 15 years earlier. In other words, we should have taken that beginner's ski lesson they offered. But we didn't want to waste our precious time doing that. We only had one day to ski. Besides, we weren't going to get off the bunny slope, so how much trouble could we really get ourselves into?
Oh, no.
Foreshadowing. We made our way over to the ski lift, and for some reason, I was terrified of this thing. I mean, they are scary. I'm going to be honest. I think they're scary, too.
the chairlift?
Yes. I think it's scary. I mean, I get scared of, like, revolving doors, honestly. So, like, it's the same kind of vibe. It feels like you have to, like, kind of time it and, like, get on, and, like, something can happen. You can fall off. I think ski lifts are scary. Okay.
I know. They are.
It was going way faster than I expected. I tried to get on it, but I chickened out at the last second and I managed to scurry off. However, one of my poles didn't make it off with me. My pole went ahead up the mountain, sticking out of the back of the lift.
No.
I managed to catch it on the next lift up. Then I realized I was going to have to get off this thing at the top, and that seemed even more scary than getting on it. I was
without your pole, yeah.
I was literally about to start crying, but the nice man at the top managed to coax me off and kind of catch me. Plus, he rescued my pole. So, whew, I'm at the top of the mountain. All's good, except, holy shit, why does this bunny slope look like an actual mountain? I thought bunny slopes were like flat. Crap.
This took it to like a flat diamond. Oh, no.
Was not cool at all. But there was only one way down at this point, so I guess I would just have to grin and bear it. At least
get out of here. They've never skied before.
Never.
And they're like, well, I go
straight
down.
And they didn't
down,
take a lesson.
There's only one way
they've
down
never skied and they didn't take a lesson.
They denied the lesson. So she just kept going past the bunny hole and like went all the way up to the top.
At least I could work up the courage. There was no rush. Foreshadowing again. That's when I noticed my mom skied off to the side about 10 feet away and she'd fallen. I decided to just kind of trudge my way over to her and help her up, going across the slope, not down the slope. But that's not what happened. Apparently, my skis and or legs didn't get the message that I wasn't ready to go down the mountain, because down the mountain did I go. Now, at this point, I feel it's necessary to describe what I was wearing. The rest of my family had a mismatch of winter clothing they'd cobbled together from relatives in Sam's Club. We lived in Arkansas, right? So we didn't own proper winter gear, and we didn't want to spend a lot of money on something we were only going to use for one day. But me, I was the lucky one, because my stepsister on the other side of the family happened to have an actual ski suit that fit me. So I looked like a proper ski bunny. I looked slick and professional and awesome and bright. Yes, bright, because that jacket was fluorescent yellow. Keep that in mind. So there I was, unexpectedly going down the slope, and at this point, I was expecting to die, and I'm pretty sure my family was expecting the same. You see, I have a well-deserved reputation for being the clumsiest person alive. I trip over my own feet while walking barefoot on a flat surface. I trip over nothing. This should have been my downfall.
Skis.
Literally. But for some reason, unbeknownst to anyone but the gods, I didn't fall. In fact, I was soaring down that slope. I was weaving in between people. I was going fast as bloody lightning. And I know everyone could see me because I was wearing that goddamn fluorescent yellow jacket.
Oh my God.
I was nearing the bottom, which is when I realized I was going to have to stop soon.
You know how to stop.
My stepbrothers told me that if we have to stop, we should bring the front tips of our skis together. So that's what I did.
Pizza slice.
But the only thing that did was build up a wall of snow between my legs. It didn't slow me down at all. I was perilously close to the bottom, though, and I was still going 397 miles per hour. Okay, probably not that fast, but it certainly felt that fast to me. So I had to make a decision. I decided to just crash. There was a pile of snow at the bottom, and I thought, I'll aim for that. But as it turns out, I didn't. Now, this next bit is a little blurry in my memory, so bear with me. Instead of crashing into the mound of snow, I crashed right into the beginner ski class at the bottom of the bunny slope, because the irony is a real thing that exists, despite Alanis Morissette not understanding the concept. I crashed right through the middle of it and smacked right into the ski instructor. I don't actually remember that part. That's just what my parents and sister tell me what happened, because they, of course, were watching it all unfold from the top of the bunny slope. Man. So she's still calling it a bunny slope, but I don't know. This was some big bunny slope.
It's a black diamond bunny slope.
I know. I'm like, what?
She went down a black diamond.
I mean, at least maybe like a green circle, maybe. I don't know.
Unless she's like this tall. Yeah. Unless she's like a little ant.
The next part I remember is lying on my back in the snow with my hat and goggles off, one ski off. The other ski somehow still attached to my foot, but all kinds of cattywampus. My ribs aching, with an entire beginner ski class standing over me and looking down at me. One of them asked if I was okay, and I just said, fuck. They helped me up, and I located my other ski, my poles, my hat, and goggles, which had gotten thrown about 8 feet away in the collision. As I limped away, I heard the ski instructor say in a cheery voice, "Okay, so who's ready to try the bunny slope?" Followed by nervous laughter from the class.
Was the ski instructor okay?
I guess so. I guess they were fine. I spent the rest of the day, I don't know how long it was, 4 or 5 hours, sitting at the bottom of the hill crying. My plan had been to meet up with my family, but for some reason I couldn't find them, despite being at the bottom of the bunny slope, which is the only hill they were skiing on. Anyway, it was an awful experience, and it was exceedingly embarrassing. I can laugh about it now, and I could laugh about it that evening, in fact, but at the time, laughing was the last thing on my mind. I wished I was old enough to go into the lodge, knock back a few hot toddies, and forget the entire episode.
Like 11 years old. Like, I see you, hot toddies. Wait, I think that that ski instructor turned back to the kids and just had like blood gushing from their nose. It was like, who's ready to try the bunny hills?
I mean, they got slammed into by this kid flying, even if they weren't going that fast, like to get slammed into to where she was like knocked back and had like a freaking concussion and her skis flew like 8 feet. Yeah. It had to hurt. I know. I'm like, that's so crazy.
Yeah, it had to hurt.
They just sucked it up, I think. It probably happens all the time. They like maybe
they're covered in their hot chocolate.
They have like padding everywhere for all the people that are running into them all the time.
She just put like a frying pan in her stomach. That's why that girl got knocked out so hard. She's like, that's what I learned.
Okay, I have one more quickie that I thought was funny.
Okay, amazing.
This one comes from Cora, and Amy Hansen writes, "My worst moment was in fifth grade. One day, a couple of notes went around the classroom with two girls' names on them, asking people to place a check mark beside the girl who was prettier. Sort of like that face mash thing that Mark Zuckerberg wrote in that Facebook movie. Pretty much everyone saw them and voted, and then the teacher found out. Then we had to sit around while the teacher angrily demanded that we weren't going anywhere until the person who wrote the notes admitted who they were. Finally, a girl started crying and got up and admitted that she had written the note because she wanted to see if people thought she was pretty. To make matters worse, the girl lost by a huge margin. That girl was me." Isn't that hilarious? I was dying. I was like, that's so funny.
That is so funny. That girl was me.
But it's also so sad. She was like, am I prettier than Emily? And she like wrote everyone, like wrote her little name on there, like Jane and Emily, like check. And everyone checked Emily. And she was like, and the teacher's like, "But I thought who did this? No one's leaving till you admit it." And she was like, it was me.
It was me. She cried. She was like, it was me. But can we see the results? Like, did Emily win? And then Emily did win. Oh.
Isn't that funny?
Also, I do not like that. So I don't like a lot of like stories about, you know, things getting wrecked. Like, you know, my whole house was like Home Alone was a nightmare to watch for me. But also like teachers being like, no one's going anywhere until they tell me whose period stayed this is.
You know? Like, and you're going to need to read that note in front of the whole class. Yeah, it's like, it's pretty messed up.
You have to, you know, out yourself, even though, you know, you're not supposed to pass notes. But that's embarrassing. That's a really embarrassing one. And so funny. That girl was me.
It's hilarious. I love that she made up her own vote for herself and passed it around to the class.
Yeah.
Like she's just an impartial party. She's like, oh, did you guys see this? Who wrote this? Oh, hey, who are you voting for? Who are you voting for over here?
I know. I mean, I wouldn't feel too bad if you're a teacher and like people aren't passing the tests that you give them because that's where their brains are.
Exactly.
Like, am I the pretty one, the prettiest one in the land?
Am I prettier than her? Am I? No, am I nobody thinks so. Okay, great. It's fine. That's our show.
We
hope you loved it. If you did, please tell a friend, rate, review, and subscribe. That helps us move up the charts. And if you've got a story that made you turn beet red, we want to hear it. Email us at beetredpodcast@gmail.com.
Email us, and send us, you know, an Instagram story, whatever you can do. We need your stories. We love them. We've told ours. You tell yours. Keep them coming. If you want to buy us a coffee, go to our Patreon page, which is listed in the show notes. And if you can't beat them,
join us.
See you next week.